All right, everybody, it is Stick and Hack Reacts for Monday, July 19th, 2021. I'm your host, Adam Grove from Stick and Hack. That's Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio New York. Keith, I've got the weekend red going. That's what we call it here. If you're watching this on video, I was actually golfing over the weekend. I missed most of the Open because I was in my own little tournament, which I got second, by the way. You're welcome. Let's talk about the Open right out of the gate. Colin Morikawa, a winner, his second major. We got Jordan Spieth coming in second, continues his run of great golf right now. John Rahm, U.S. Open winner, up there in the top three. And, of course, Louis. Your reaction to the Open?
I guess my initial reaction is, I guess you feel like Louis these days, coming in second over the weekend? Come on, why would you even bring that up?
Hey,
why would you bring it up?
My reaction to that
is boo, right? But no, overall, Morikawa, superstar. I mean, how is this guy not on anybody's radar going into the whole 149th Open Championship? Admittingly, I didn't have him high on my list. He didn't play great at the Scottish Open. He said he figured some things out there, getting used to the new turf. I mean, the guy is the number one iron player in the world, and that doesn't even do him justice. He is like producing statistics like Tiger did in his prime. And speaking of Tiger, Adam, let me get your reaction to this. First of all, Morikawa win, huge thumbs up. Love him for golf. He's definitely not going to be the gunslinger that Jordan Spieth always is, but he's certainly not a scientist like a Bryson and is going to annoy you, Adam. He comes right in the middle. He is just a superstar. And I'm really excited about him because I think that golf, you know, we've now been four majors without Tiger Woods. We're going to need a couple guys to step up and play the type of golf that Tiger used to play, which gets us excited. Now, I bring up Tiger. First 50 starts for Colin Morikawa. 5 wins, 2 majors. He's got 4 top 10s in 8 majors. I mean, is that pretty good, right?
Yeah.
He's got 20 top 10s in those 50 starts, and he's won $14 million. So I brought up Tiger's name, and I did a little research here, Adam. Tiger, 50 starts, 7 wins, but only 1 major. He had 28 top 10s, and he only won $4.7 million. So you think Colin Morikawa and the rest of the guys, $10 extra million in 50 starts. It's unbelievable. You know, John Rahm shows up again, 66 on the final day, tied for third. Poor Louis. You know, we joked about him earlier that he was channeling his inner Adam Grubb this weekend, and he only came in third. It wasn't great. Tremendous, tremendous showdown with Spieth over the weekend between he and Morikawa. Gets me really excited about the future of golf the next couple of years. As Phil and Tiger kind of, you know, mosey off into the sunset, we've got some really, really interesting characters and some really good players right now. Adam, I got to get a quick reaction from you. Spieth might be one of the best players statistically this season. He's got a win. He's been relevant in majors, right? Yep. Can you imagine this guy? He's still not on the Ryder Cup team. What's your reaction to that?
It makes no sense. He is playing. He's playing some of the best golf he's played in a long time. He, as far as a comeback from obscurity there for several years, where he was missing cuts, he was middle of the pack at best. He was all over the map with his game. He's a young, fiery superstar. Number one, he is incredible for ratings. He is right now playing his best golf. Him not on the Ryder Cup team, it makes zero sense to me. It'd be like if you and I didn't do a Reacts on Monday. It makes no sense whatsoever. What has to happen in order for him to even make the Ryder Cup team? Is that even possible at this point?
Well, right now, the way the system is going to work in 2021, if the top 6 get in, of which he is not at this moment, but this wasn't the cutoff date. So he is 7th right now. They'll pick 6 captains selections on top of the 6 that make it automatically. So obviously Spieth would be a good choice. And who wouldn't want to see Spieth's short game lined up and his putting lined up with Morikawa's iron game? Imagine those guys an alternate shot. Just get the Europeans up, line them up, knock them down, baby. Yeah. I love it. I'm getting fired up because we're done with majors. And the FedEx Cup, it takes like a month to take care of it. But man, we are like 2 months from the Ryder Cup. And we saw the type of play we can get out of our Americans. And I'm pretty excited about that. I have to give a big shout out to a fellow PGA member of mine, Rick Sessinghouse. He is Colin Morikawa's swing coach and mental coach. And I think that that's kind of like the wave of the future. I love what he's done with both sides of Collins' game. Man, the guy is really impressive. And I'm super excited about the Open Championship. And I can't wait to write this week's article about it, actually, Adam. I'm pumped.
Well, let me ask you this, Keith. The weather did not play a factor at all over the 4 days. And that's people who love the Open and the wind and the rain and the dampness and the dreariness. They didn't get that this time. They got sunshine. They got a little bit of wind, maybe 17-mile-an-hour wind at one point, gusting up to 25. But for the most part, it were perfect conditions, especially yesterday. Your reaction to the weather not playing a part at all the Open, and would you have liked to have seen that maybe pertain to higher scores because people are playing in rain and wind?
I'll go meh on that, Adam. I mean, honestly, I'm not as much of a masochist as so many golfers are. You know, I don't need to see these guys punished. They had to play a ground game, which is specifically different than the way that they play over here in the States. Look at the shot that Morikawa hit yesterday to close on 17. That ball halfway to the hole, and it was, you know, 100 and some yard shot, was on the ground and it came out pin high. These guys had to use the ground. They had to be smart. The leaders that in driving accuracy and the bombers, they had to reel their game back. There was so much chess being played in the last four rounds there. The whole Open Championship, St. George's, it showed really well. The condition of the golf course, the greens not being overly fast, but the undulations and the pin and the whole placement selections. I mean, I just think that overall, it was completely different than watching, let's say, a Players' Championship or a U.S. Open. And that's all you need. I don't need these guys to go hiding under umbrellas. In fact, you know, to me, that's kind of almost becomes a little bit awkward at times. I love the fact that it was 80 degrees there yesterday. It was the warmest day of the year in Sandwich. And these guys were sweating, and they were sweating it out on the inside, too. I'm fine with it, Adam. I thought it was a great championship, and just a really, really spectacular way to end our championship season in 2021.
You mentioned bombers a second ago, and that brings us to our contractually obligated Bryson DeChambeau conversation here on Stick and Hack Reacts. Bryson got into some hot water. He had to come back and apologize. He said on a press conference, I believe on Friday, that his driver sucks, and then went through this entire tirade about his driver. Now, he was talking specifically about his club, which is sponsored by, given to him by, and people are buying this club based upon Bryson's ability to hit the ball far. And so the sponsor then, and forgive me here, Keith, show my denseness.
Cobra. I'm not,
who was it?
Cobra.
Cobra. Cobra comes back and says, hey, what are you doing there, Bryson? You're talking about the one thing that you're known for here. Do you think it was a big deal that Bryson said his driver sucks and the reaction of the golf world shortly after that?
You know, Bryson generally gets a thumbs down, folks. I'm sorry. We're not going to change our opinion here. As much as he keeps golf interesting, he's doing it in a way that's creating a lot of negative press about the game, about the analytical side of how people need to play. It just creates a lot of confusion about how much fun golf can be. And this is just another example of him not connecting with the golf audience. I mean, we talk about this all the time, Adam, you and I, on camera, off camera. We have 10 million extra golfers. People are going to Topgolf. They're playing more golf at your club. They're playing more golf all over New Jersey here where I am. All right. And Bryson comes out and says, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me.
Right.
And we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits. I'm living on the razor's edge, like I've told people for a long time. This guy's living on the razor's edge, and we just came through a pandemic, right? I mean, he just has zero perspective except on himself. The razor's edge, they're trying to figure it out, Adam. He's number one on the PGA Tour in driver distance. He's number one in strokes gained off the tee. So I know you don't know what that means, but he's over a shot better than everybody else off the tee. So he starts every round at one under par just based upon the way his driver does work. He's number five on the PGA Tour in strokes gained total. That's the total game, right?
Even his apology, Keith, he came back and he said, I'm always striving for perfection. And even his apology was out of touch. It wasn't like, hey, I didn't mean the driver. I just meant the way I'm hitting the driver. That, you know, it was. I shouldn't have said it the way I said it. Sorry about that. And move on. Now, even his apologies come with this trite and controlled language around his quest for perfection. And there isn't a golfer on the planet that will tell you that perfection is even attainable in any stretch of the imagination. Everything could be an inch closer or a foot closer here or there. I'm done with him, quite frankly. I'm done rooting for him, caring about him, listening to him. At this point, he's completely out of touch. And I'm done with the Brooks Bryson thing because Bryson's a part of it. So I don't think Bryson's going to care that I'm done with him. But I'd like the record to be set today, July 19th, that I am done with him. Keith, we moved to the LPGA. They did something really, really cool.
Yeah, Adam, real quick. Just I'll really get you going then. So a week from now, you have Bryson not representing Cobra.
Right.
Not representing any of the companies that are all labeled all over his body.
Right.
We have him in the Olympics representing me and you and the finest country in the world, the US of A, over in Tokyo, playing for us in the Olympics.
Right.
How do you feel about that? What's your reaction to that? Bryson representing America in the Olympics, Adam. Give it to me.
I'll be watching long jump. That's my reaction. Okay? Because it won't be him. And I have zero interest in watching him represent America at that point. So I'll be watching long jump or maybe the one of the other maybe the shot put. I'll be watching shot put, and I'll be becoming a huge shot put fan. Bryson out. Next LPGA, we have a new format. The LPGA continues to invent and reinvent the way that people can experience their tournaments. And last week was no different. They started a tournament in the middle of the week and in an entirely new format. For those that aren't familiar with what happened with the LPGA last week, explain the format and the match.
All right, Adam, I'm so glad you brought this up today. I know there was a major championship, the Olympics, there's a lot going on, Bryson crying, but the LPGA did it again. You know, the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational, great winners in the Jutanagarn sisters. So they win. They shoot 59 on Sunday, 11 under day. And you might say, well, how did two sisters win? Well, hey, I'm going to get to that, Adam. But big thumbs up by the LPGA and their decision makers. Certainly checking off all the boxes again. What boxes? Format. It was a team concept. It was two partners. They alternate between alternate shot format and better ball every other day. So in one day they're playing foursomes, the next day they're playing four ball. Great. Check that box off. They started on a Wednesday. Instead of doing your normal Thursday through Sunday, they started on a Wednesday and they carry it over. So they give themselves a little more limelight, which of course led to them also signing a deal with CBS for put the final round on national TV coverage, which is something that they so desperately need because the product is so good, but it's not getting out and it's not to scale with the large enough audience. So I'm really happy for the LPGA. It's a fun week for them. It is something where they were doing something different. They checked all the right boxes in my mind. Next week, they have a major championship over in France at the Evian Championship. So I think that was a great play on their part to at least get some eyes on the LPGA in a week leading up to a major. They could talk about that. They could talk about a different format. If somebody was out there, if there was a consumer out there and they were digesting the LPGA for the first time this year, they would have seen a very fun concept and they would have seen a ton of birdies. So huge thumbs up. You know, the sisters won at 24 under, three-shot win. They blew away the field on Sunday. Just a really cool story. And congratulations to the LPGA and great decision-making and good luck with their major championship next weekend.
Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio New York and The Pro Show. Check it out where you get your podcast or if you're out east, on ESPN Radio in New York. I'm Adam Grubb with Stick and Hack. Keith, thank you so much yet again for Stick and Hack Reacts. We'll see you next week. See you next Monday, everybody. Bye.